tonight's message.
I was greatly blessed studying and preparing for tonight's message from John 17, verse 12. I didn't get past one verse, verse 12 this evening. Entitled it, Given and Kept. He says, those that thou gavest me, I've kept. And you want to read that tonight, John 17, 12, or the whole prayer, I wish you would. But I hope to come out tonight and hear it. It's a blessing to me studying it. Now turn with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. I often hear comments from people after preaching. I hear people say, you were preaching right to me this morning. And somebody may say, you seem to know just what I needed. Well, I don't. I don't. I'm not a prophet. But God's Word is all-powerful and effectual. And if something touches you, it's God's Word. It's not this preacher. It's God's Word speaking to you. If it convicts you or comforts you, according to whatever you need, it's God that's doing it, not me. And I honestly, here's a disclaimer, sure. I honestly try not to prepare messages with particular people in mind. I can't help but think about people and think, oh, I wish they could hear this. But because I said time and time again, ten times out of ten, that person won't be there. And somebody else will come up and say, oh, it's just what I needed. The last person I expected. See, I don't know. That way, you know, I believe if I did have somebody in mind, I preached and the Lord gave liberty and so forth, and that person was really greatly touched and all, I might get a tendency to be puffed up. Right? But it's generally the person you least expect that needs what is said. And this message is not prepared for anybody in particular, unless the Lord has somebody in particular in mind. I don't. Yet, it's for everybody who can take the place of a guilty sinner before God. So it's for me. I can take the place here. Here's a woman caught in the act, condemned, poor, and miserable. Caught in the act. And that's me. That's me. And don't think, I don't want anybody in here to think that I prepared this for you personally, but I do want you to think that God prepared it for you personally. I do want you to take it personally. Not from me, but from the Word of God. And if no, like I said, if nobody else will take it, I will. I'll take it. So many times I preach and don't feel like I've gotten across to anybody, but yet I got a blessing. And I say, well, maybe it was for me. But I'll take my place beside this woman here in John 8. Look at it with me. Look up at verse 53 of chapter 7. I hope you have a Bible. John 7, verse 53. And it's unfortunate, this chapter division here. But we got to restart here. He says, now Christ was dealing with a bunch of Pharisees, and they were discussing between themselves about him. And after they all couldn't come to any conclusion, all it says, verse 53, every man went into his own house. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. Everybody went to their own house. Christ went up into a mountain. He said in one place, foxes have their holes and birds have their nests. The Son of Man doesn't even have any place to lay his head. Lived up in the woods. Now, the reason I brought this out was because the Scripture says he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Nobody, I mean nobody, ever lives as poorly as our Lord Himself. Nobody had as many trials or troubles or tribulation or loneliness or whatever more so than our Lord Himself. And He did it to enter into the things that you go through. He did it for our sakes as a substitute, and also to enter into these things, to be touched. He troubled Himself, was touched with the feeling of our infirmity. So whatever troubles or trials you go through, they're no excuse to keep you from seeking God. Christ didn't. It didn't keep Him from it. Consider this man. Consider him. Okay, now look at verse 2. Early in the morning, now stay with me, hope the Lord blesses us. Early in the morning, He came again into the temple. The sun arose in the morning and came into the temple. What a prophecy of the Son of God entering into that little tabernacle of a baby. The sun had arisen on this earth. Glory unto God and peace, goodwill toward men. The sun is rising. He's in the body of a baby down here in a tabernacle. He tabernacled among men, the sun. Then, 33 and a third years later, He went into a grave. But He didn't stay there. The sun arose early in the morning and entered into the temple of God with His very blood, to pour out that blood upon the mercy seat before God Almighty. And not only that, the Scripture says, but to them that look for Him shall He appear as what? The Son of Righteousness. With healing in His wings, to the temple, to the church, He's going to arise. Early in the morning, the time when you think not, the sun's going to come up again. The sun's going to appear on this earth, to the temple, in the temple. Early in the morning, He came again into the temple. He came again into the temple. Let me say this also, early in the morning. Every verse, every word is a sermon, but it says early in the morning. He said to John, He said, we need to fulfill all righteousness. And the proverb said, they that seek me early shall find me. He was up early about His Father's business. Did He find Him? Oh, He walked with Him. Early in the morning. Early in the morning. He fulfilled all righteousness. He fulfilled the word. And it says all the people. Early in the morning He came again into the temple. And all the people came unto Him, and He sat down and taught them. I remember, this reminds me of a few weeks earlier, a little time before, we looked at this. Well, He came someplace and sat down. He's waiting on somebody. You remember? He came, it says He must needs go through Samaria. So He came at midday and sat on a well. Who was He waiting for? Waiting for one woman. Came into the temple. A multitude of people thronged Him everywhere He went. A vast number of people came to hear Him and so forth. He came into the temple and He sat down and He talked to them.
He's waiting on one woman.
Again, He's waiting on one woman to come into this place. Oh, the wonder of God's Word here. And this also speaks to me, when He sat down here, it speaks to me of our great high priest who is seated at the right hand of God, waiting till His enemies be made His footstool. And you just wait in a minute in this story. His enemies are going to be made His footstool, and sinners are going to come to Him. Come to Him. That's the way it's going to be someday, before our great high priest in heaven. So here He was, sitting in the temple, teaching the people. He sat down and He talked to them. And all of a sudden, a great crowd of people came in and disturbed Him. I mean, here He was. He came into the temple and He sat down, was teaching all the people. And all of a sudden, a big bustle, the doors flew open, a crowd of people came in and interrupted His preaching right in the middle of His teaching. They interrupted Him. Look at verse 3. The scribes and the Pharisees brought into unto Him a woman taken in adultery. I'm sure they drug her in pretty quickly, treated her pretty roughly. dragged her in there, and they set her in the midst of it. Right in the middle, right there where everybody could see. And they said unto him, Master, I can hear their voices. I've heard them. I've heard these voices before. Teacher, this woman was, poor woman, was taken in adultery, in the very act of adultery. And now wait a minute. How did they know this? I thought about this. How did they know this woman was committing adultery? Huh? Unless one of their cronies was in on it. Were they watching her? Were they watching her? Were they spying on her? That they might accuse her? This is so typical of modern day religion. So typical of self-righteous religionists who are constantly on the lookout for somebody to sin so they can catch them. Right? Paul talked about it to the Galatians. Said there's some people, false brethren, sinning to spy out your liberty. Elders. Examination committee. Come into your house. See if you've got a TV set. Bring you before the Sanhedrin and so forth. The Monmouth Nation. You wait and see how the Lord deals with this. People do that, though. They're constantly on the lookout for somebody to discipline. They love it, don't they? Don't they? Discipline. Talk about discipline like they love it. What it does is it makes them look good. Makes themselves look good. When they drag somebody in. That's what these fellows are trying to do. And under pretense of the gospel for sinners. Churches are supposed to be hospitals for sinners. I mean, where sinners can come in and be treated. Not mean, but treated with the balm of Gilead. The gospel. Comfort ye, my people, God said. But he says, woe unto you false prophets and false shepherds and so forth. You beat my sheep. You fleece them. You feed off of them. You're not comforting them. You discipline them. Oh, that men would take notice of the Holy One of Israel who came down to this earth. And how did he treat sinners? He received them. Come! I wish sinners would come in this place. Come. We receive a sinner, not deceive a sinner. You receive a sinner, not catches them. But look, they said, we caught her in the very act. The very act. I'm making fun. They need to be made fun of. I wonder how long they watched this before they turned her in. We caught her right in the act. Were you watching? That's how wicked and perverse people really are. If you knew the half of it, if we knew the half of these religious parasites, if you knew the half, some of them have been exposed in our day, haven't they? That's just they're all like that. Peter said that in 2 Peter chapter 2, is it? Listen to it. Read it sometime. Well, they brought this woman in, caught in the very act. They were watching, caught her. In verse 5, here they say, now Moses in the law, that's how they talk. Moses in the law, I guarantee you that's the way they said that. He hath commanded us in the reading of your hearing, or however they say it. He hath commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? Moses and the law. What did they do? They started quoting Scripture. Quoting Scripture. And invariably, this is what religious folks like to do. To justify themselves. To accuse others with. They use it not for themselves. The Scriptures are for me. When I read the Scriptures, I'm not supposed to read the Scriptures and say, "Well, Nancy sure needs that. Oh, I wish she'd hear that. I need it.
If you read the Scriptures any other way than for it to touch you, you're reading them all wrong. All wrong. I need that. I need that. And this is invariably what religious folks do. Rather than using the Word for themselves, they use it as ammunition. Ammunition. Point a gun. Take the sword to cut people's heads off with. And just listen to this. Just because somebody can quote Scripture and use a few Scriptures, that doesn't mean a thing. That don't mean a thing. Jack Van Impe, he didn't impress me in the least. The scribes lived to write the Scriptures. They knew it. They could quote it. They could quote it. Let's hear Jack start quoting the Old Testament. These fellows could. Long, laborious names, endless genealogies. They could quote them. They knew them. Christ said, you know what he said to some of these fellows one time? He said, oh, and this got under their skin. He looked right at some scribes and some Pharisees who all their lives had spent in the monastery reading the Scriptures and quoting and diligently preparing and so forth. He said, you don't know the Scriptures. You don't know the Scriptures. You do err not knowing the Scriptures. What? We can quote them. I don't care if you can quote them. You don't know them. They speak of me. And I don't care who can quote what. If they don't know the Word of God, in other words, if they don't see God the Word in the Word of God, they don't know the Scriptures. Teach anything else, preach anything else than Christ and Him crucified, they don't know the Scriptures. Preach any other gospel unto you than we have preached, Christ is all, they don't know the gospel. They are not preaching the gospel. And I thought about this too. This is also a picture of people who claim to live under New Testament regulations, but yet look and act like they're under the law. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, people say, we're not under the law. We're not under the law. We're New Testament believers. Well, why do you look like it then? Why do you revert back to it? Throw away the Ten Commandments then. That's old law, right? That's Old Testament. Don't ever throw away. Take the old Bible, rip it in half, and live by the new then. But you see it everywhere. Claim to be living by faith in Christ and so forth, but are living according to the Old Testament law. I can see that clear today. Well, listen, here's what they said. They said, Moses saying the law, he commanded us that such should be stoned, those caught in adultery. And he did say that. They should be stoned. What do you say? What do you say? Now, they weren't really interested in what he had said. They really weren't. They weren't interested in knowing the truth. They were only accusing him. Much like people you talk to. You've gotten into conversations, I know, with people. And they ask you a question. They're not interested in what you have said. They're waiting so they can have their turn. They're waiting so they can tell you what they want to tell you. Right? They're not interested in what you have to say. I don't care if you quote Scripture to them, right, Henry? Well, let's see what the Bible says. Well, verse 6, this they said, tempting him, that they might have something to accuse him. They were trying to accuse him. They were trying to discredit Christ. Like I said, much like some people try to talk to you and so forth, trying to disprove you. You imagine their stupidity. You imagine this, trying to accuse the one before whom someday they are going to stand accused. You think about it. This is God here, sitting there. And they're trying to accuse Him, God, trying to catch Him up. And someday, Terry, they're going to stand before this God, and this is the reason the Scriptures talks about their hearts failing them. They're going to stand before this Jesus that they talked about who was so impotent and this and that and the other. They're going to stand before this awesome one that the Revelation describes in such an awesome manner, the voice of sound of many waters, and their hearts are going to fail. They're going to remember all that they said about Jesus. Their words are going to condemn them. Their thoughts, their actions. You're not the Jesus we... Oh. They're going to get down on their faces and beg for mercy. You accused me at one time, didn't you? Now, let's see who the accuser is. Right? Scripture says God's going to someday judge all men by that man. That man they claim to know and so forth. Whew. You think of that. Their stupidity. But you know what? Listen to me. Stay with me. This is a good question. They asked him a good question. They asked him the gospel question. This is the question of all questions. Now listen to me. They said, Moses says she's to be stoned. What do you say? This is the gospel. These fellows unwittingly were saying, Rick, they were saying, how can God be just and yet justify this woman? Where does the answer lie?
What does he say?
Right? Now here we are. We are this woman caught in adultery. Everybody in here. See, I never committed adultery. Yes, you have. If you've thought on a man or a woman, you're guilty. That's what the scripture said. Anybody in here innocent? Caught in the act. You say, I've never been.
God sees you. He sees your heart.
God doesn't look as man look on outward county. God sees the heart, scripture says. Caught in the act. You've been caught in the act of thinking of somebody else. But you're brought in.
You've been brought in by somebody. Like I said, like I'm trying to pray. There's no accident you're here.
No accident that anybody in here is here. You didn't come here of your own free will. You did not decide this morning I'm going to go to church. No, you did not. God decided from the foundation of the world you're going to be in church on November the, what's today? Whatever the day is. I don't know. He knew.
And he said, you're coming. And you're going to hear.
Right? You believe there's a God, you have to believe that. Now, you sit down in the midst of this people right now. I wish, I thought about doing this, having one of these ladies stand up. It would embarrass you to no end, wouldn't it? You haven't been caught. It'd still embarrass you, wouldn't it? Just think of it. Think of it. You haven't done anything, but just stand there and look at everybody. Everybody look at you, you'd be embarrassed to death, wouldn't you? This woman was caught in the act. Everybody knew it. And if I could somehow bring proof against Sherry there, never, she'd be as red as her sweater there. She could get out of here, she'd run out as fast as she could, which this is the picture, and this is us. We're caught in that. The scripture says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're caught in her sword. You've sinned. You've come short, far short of the glory of God. Like Donnie Bell said, what did you do all those years before the Lord revealed himself to you, if he has? What did you do with your life? You wasted it on yourself, hadn't you? Not giving glory to God, like the scripture says. They weren't thankful. They're all without excuse because when they knew God, that is in creation, God kept giving you this, giving you that, giving you this, giving you that, having mercy, having mercy, having mercy, having grace, 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 goodness, 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 and never give a thought. Never even look up. Right? Guilty. So people are going to stand before God just on that account. Guilty. You never thanked me. Right? That's us. Guilty. We still don't do it. Scripture says, all we like sheep have gone our own way, gone astray. Right? Now, Moses says, stone him. The law says, the soul that sinneth, it must surely what? Die. Here we are. You're guilty, Stan Anderson. You're as guilty as if you've been caught red-handed before God Almighty, right? Yes, sir. Guilty as charged. Now, the law says, die. What are we going to do? I'm not making this up. This is what it says. It says we're just spending eternity in hell for not thanking God as we should. Not living for God. What are we going to do?
Nothing. Same as this woman. You're going to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Nothing.
We can't do a thing.
We're guilty. We can't do a thing. Nothing.
And this is the question. How can a holy God just forgive us? Just say, you didn't mean it, did you?
No.
Go on.
No, we can't do that.
God will by no means clear the guilty, the scripture said.
He won't, can't do it. He can't be holy and just let people go. He's got to
pour out his justice on them.
How can God be just? How can Moses' law be fulfilled on this woman? How's this woman going to get stoned and yet go free?
How? Look at the next verse.
How?
Well, this they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. Jesus stooped down.
How can God be God and let me go free of guilty, hopeless, vile, wretched, wicked, hell-deserving sinner? Caught in the act? How?
The Son of God came down and took upon himself the form of a man and did for me and for you, hopefully, if you just trust it, what you could not do for yourself. Live this life that God demanded. He came down
and sat on the well.
He came down and sat in the temple. He came down and sat in the dust, waiting for sinners like you and me.
Wait.
The Son of God took upon himself the form of a man, walked and talked and lived on this earth as a man, yet without sin.
Without sin.
This is the gospel. He did it without sin for you and me. For you and me. And then, understand what I'm saying. Christ lived this earth as a man. And you women are included in it. As a man, as a human being. He lived perfectly. Thought, not only in just deed, but in word, in thought, perfectly. Glorified God, loved God with his mind, heart, soul, strength. Loved his neighbor as himself. Went about doing good, nothing but good. And God says, I approve of you. Now, the gospel, the good news is, here you stand. And here he stands. He comes down and stands beside you. He stooped down right beside you. You stand guilty as charged. He stands innocent. You've got on a robe of filth and wickedness. He's got on a pristine, holy, spotless, white robe of righteousness. What are we going to do? Nothing. We're going to stand there. What's he going to do? He's going to take off that robe. Take off your robe. He takes off that old ragged robe you got on, and he puts it on. And he takes his spotless, white robe of righteousness and puts it on you.
Now God looks. He sees two people standing there. He says, you, holy, spotless. Look what a good life he's lived.
No, not on the asshole, Lord, not on him. He looks at him and sees a wretched sinner. And justice has got to fall. The condemned, the guilty has to pay. Punishment has to be shed, right? Blood. The soul that sinneth must surely die. Who's he going to kill? The sword comes down. Boom! On Christ. And we go free. Accepted. And he dies. He suffers our shame, guilt, punishment. What we deserve. That's the gospel, as clear as I can make it. Punish Christ for what I did. How can he do that? How can he do that? No, it just doesn't sound fair. People talk about fairness. I don't think it's fair that God should hold me guilty for what Adam did back in the garden. That's not fair. I wasn't around in the garden. Oh, no, wait a minute. People plead that, don't they? Nobody likes to... Nobody believes in imputed sin. Imputed sin of Adam, do they? They don't like to believe that. They don't. The total depravity of man from one by one man's sin, many were made sinners. Now, wait a minute now. You can't take the act that Christ did on the cross. You can't take credit for that. I mean, you can't take the benefits of that if you're not going to take your place with Adam either. You weren't around when Christ died either, were you? But how can he do this? How can he do it? How can he make one man guilty and pay for the sins of so many people? How can he do that? Look at it, brother. Look at verse 6. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger, he wrote on the ground. He stooped down, and with his finger, he wrote on the ground. You see where I'm getting at here in a minute. He's all wise. He's all powerful. God is. Christ is. Only God could think of such a way, think of such a gospel. Only God could do it. Only God could think of this, and only God could perform it. This is the reason God had to come down and do this. Man can't satisfy justice. We've sinned against the holy God. If God sends us to hell, this is the reason hell's going to last for eternity. Sin can't be paid for. It's against the holy God. I don't know if you understand that or not, but that's the way it is. It's against the holy God. One transgression. We lived all our lives in transgression. And all the myriads of people who have lived, it's against the holy... That's the reason it's going to be an eternity of hell to be paying for sin. But the debt's too great. It'll never be paid for. About like the national debt. Never be... He can come down and satisfy it. He can come down. God can't suffer. He can't suffer. God can't die. Man can. So God became a man. Who'd have thought such? Who'd have thunk it? Only God. This is the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. And you know, he who wrote the tables of stone, this is what I'm pointing out here. He who wrote the tables of stone, and look it up, says he wrote them with his finger, didn't it? He who wrote the law that they were accusing him with, it says he wrote it on rock, on stone, and gave it to Moses, didn't it? Where does stone come from? It comes from the ground. God wrote on the ground with a finger. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Carved it out and gave it to Moses. Here he goes. God came back one day. Stooped down. God came down. Stooped down and wrote on the ground. What did he write this time? Thou shalt not? Huh? Thou shalt not commit adultery? No. I bet you there's one person looking at what he was writing. The rest of them weren't. The Pharisees weren't watching. But that woman was keenly interested in what he was writing. He might have been writing, this is speculation, but he might have been writing, he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. By his stripes we are healed. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. He hath not dealt with us according to our iniquities, like as a father pity. Could have. You don't know it. He could have wrote that. I've seen him write it. I've seen the writing. Have you? Yeah. But he stooped down and he wrote in the ground as though he, and it says there, he started writing, and it was as though he heard them not. As though he heard them not. And they kept asking him. They kept tempting him. They kept asking him. But he didn't sound like he was hearing him. Well, picture this with me. Here they come barging in and interrupt his teaching, his preaching. You're sitting there. You're sitting on the chair talking to the people, dealing with them. And here comes this lynch mob in. And they bust in with all their accusations against this woman. Now, Moses said, and they're probably looking down at him, down their noses at him, whom someday they're going to look up at. Moses said, we caught this woman in the very act of adultery, and Moses says that she's to be stoned. What do you say, Rabbi, teacher? We got him now, don't we, boys? We got him. Well, what do you say? He's not listening to them. His ears are open to sinners. He didn't come to call the righteous. He didn't come to answer them. Finally, what do you say, Rabbi? Come on now. Let him that is without sin among you cast the first stone. Stoop back down. Start writing again. And they which heard it, verse 9, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one. Begin with the oldest. Now, picture this again. Say we've got one of you ladies up there standing before the whole congregation. Everybody knew she was guilty. Let this be you, standing right here. And they bring you in, the Lord Himself is here. And everybody's accusing. And then after that said, let him that was without sin among you, he that was without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And everybody convicted. Oh. Anybody who's never committed adultery in your heart, throw a rock. And begin with virgin, the eldest, down to the youngest, till finally Hannah or whoever's, everybody's gone. They leave. Everybody. But look at this. And they heard it. One by one, they went out, beginning from the eldest unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman. Christ and one sinner. How sad this is, though, that all these people left. You know what they should have done? By being convicted in their own heart, what they should have done was stood right beside that woman. I'm guilty too, Lord. Or cast themselves at that woman, at his feet. I'm guilty, Lord. Forgive me, please. I'm guilty. The one who was caught was with her. She had to have a partner. He was probably standing there. He should have cast himself at his feet. It's me. I'm guilty. And you better be doing the same thing this morning. Right now. Right now. Yet how many times, this is convicting right here, how many times have you heard this same word before? And like Christ said, will you also go away? You're going to come to Christ. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Everybody was gone now. Everybody gone. Only Christ and this woman. And now, boy, she's really face to face now. Oh, but what a face she's standing before. Not the face of a critic and a judge and a Pharisee looking down on her with me. Oh, I'd like to. I've seen that face. Have you seen that face? She was looking into it. Maybe she wasn't looking up yet. Maybe she didn't look up until he spoke to her. Probably not. Probably not. That sounds good with the story. But here you sit. Here you sit again. Here we are. Here we sit. Man, child, woman, you've been brought in here by God's providence, by God's divine providence. Definitely not here by accident. You've heard the word accuse you. You've heard it. Everybody in here stands accused. You've heard the gospel. You've seen the written word. And somebody said that second time he wrote, he could have been writing names and addresses and dates on such and such a date. Just, you know, all those Pharisees standing there, he could have wrote to Jessica, November 12, 10 p.m. at the Shady Lane Motel. And one of those Pharisees, wow, gotta get out of here. Right? Names and dates. Till everybody in there was, oh!
But you've heard it all. You're guilty. And you sit here right now. Nobody can help you. And it's you and Christ. Yeah, it is. Every time the gospel preached, you're face to face with Christ. Right? You're face to face with the Christ of Scriptures, with the gospel. You've got to stand face to face with Christ. But you know what? The question is not, what will you do with Jesus? That's what preachers and soul winners are saying, isn't it? It's not, will you accept Him now as your personal Savior? He wants to. That's not the question here. That's not the question with this woman, is it? She's standing there with Christ alone. The question is, what's He going to say? What's He going to do with her? This is not the Jesus they claim it is. This is the lawgiver. This is God who wrote the law that condemns us. What's He going to say? That's the question of questions, isn't it? And that's what you and I got to face. Well, look at it there. It says, when Jesus had lifted up Himself. Have you seen Him high and lifted up? Holy and righteous as God. Just God and the Savior, Creator, your only hope, your only righteousness. If you have, here's what He says. When He lifted up Himself and saw none but the woman. And He does. He deals personally right now. Right now. I hope the Holy Spirit deals with somebody in particular. He says, woman. Woman. Where are those thine accusers? Woman. Woman. Man. Where are your accusers? Oh, she might have said, oh, Lord, the law accuses me. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things. But, He says,
I was made a curse.
I did. I continued in all things written in the book of the law. I was made a curse for you. But she said, but Satan accuses. He's the great accuser of the brethren. And Satan says, I'm guilty. And he constantly bombarded me with guilt.
No, he says, don't worry about him. Don't worry about him. I've crushed his puny head. He's in chains. He's like a dog barking on a leash. He can't hurt you.
I've met him. I've answered him. Every temptation, every trial that you'll ever face, I've met it. What about Satan? But my conscience says, my conscience bears and owns the guilt. Oh, wait a minute, he said.
You remember that high priest of old, how he sprinkled the blood and the book and the people and everything around? He said, I sprinkled your conscience with my own precious blood. The blood. God doesn't see your sin. Now, you don't...
But I'm guilty. God doesn't hold you guilty. He doesn't see. But I've done it. He doesn't see it. He forgot it. But just yesterday, He forgot it. Why don't you forget it? Where are my accusers, woman? She looked grinned. Doth no man accuse you? No man, Lord. Nobody else to accuse me. Who is he that condemneth? Huh? Who? It's Christ that died. Well, look at his answer. Doth no man condemn thee? And if as simple as I can make it, you trust Christ, you come to Him. I don't care what this sounds like to you, but you come to Christ and ask Him to forgive you. I don't care what you've done, where you've been, who you are, whatever, what you're doing right now. If you're standing guilty before God, before Christ, and you ask Him, Lord, forgive me, please. Forgive me. You know what He'll say to you? Neither do I. I don't condemn you. Go. Go free. Go free. What do you reckon she did when she left that place? There's a psalm that says, by thee I have broken through a troop and jumped over a wall. I bet she thought, man, oh man,
This whole tribe of Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes and so forth, this crowd, a lynch mob of religious people swarmed around me and brought me in here, and they're all gone. I've broken through a troop. The whole army is defeated. Nobody can accuse me now. I bet she jumped over a wall, clicking her heels together, jumped out. Know it? You? Neither do I. I don't condemn you. I don't condemn you. They said, go. Go. You're free. You're free. Free to what? Go back to sin? Go back and commit adultery? Good. I'll go out on the town tonight. No.
You reckon she wanted to do that again? Oh, no. Oh, no. He said, verse 11, go and sin no more.
How are you going to keep sinning? Well,
about the closest you'll ever come to it is to walk with Christ. Who did no sin, who does no sin, to abide in Him. If you are in Him, if His seed remains in you, like John said, you will not sin. Christ in you does not sin. But what He said to this woman, what He says to us too, is go, you're free. No man condemns you, neither do I. There's none. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Who shall lay anything the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Now go. Go. Come. Come to Christ. Go to Christ. Come to Christ. Whatever it means. Come to Him. Believe on Him. Trust Him. Ask Him. And sin no more. Take up your cross and follow Christ. His yoke is not heavy. It's not. His yoke is easy.
His burden is light. Christians, so-called Christians, might think it's tough to live the good life and this and that and the other, but that's not it at all. He sets you free. And some that know what I'm talking about know what I'm talking about.
He sets you free.
Not free to sin, but just free from the guilt of it. Free from the penalty of it. Free from the worry of it. You know, your sin are going to plague you for the rest of your life, right? Even now, it plagues us. But Christ says this to us. Anybody that comes to Him, I don't condemn you.
Oh, that ought to be good news. We ought to be clicking our heels together, leaving this place.
Go and sin no more. Take up your cross and follow Christ. Okay. Stand with me now.